أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم. We are in the midst of Surah Al Imran, and this is the first ayat from the fourth juz. In the previous section, amongst other things, different forms of apostasy and irtidad are mentioned, and different states of leaving this dunya without iman and the consequences of that. And this includes a person who never embraces in the first place the faith, or a person who embraces the faith and then leaves it, and the possibility of tawbah, if it's sincere. And then a person who embraces the faith and leaves it, and becomes very harsh in his rejection and disbelief. And how such a person's tawbah, if he expresses it hypocritically, or when the scenes of the hereafter are open before him, is not accepted. And in addition to this, in the midst of this discussion, was a mention of the value of the lost opportunity to have iman as it will manifest on the day of Qiyamah, and how, if hypothetically, a person who rises on the day of Qiyamah without iman would not be able to secure himself and save himself from the consequences of leaving the dunya without iman, even if he were to give the earth full of gold in lieu of his emancipation and freedom, it would not be accepted from him. So in the hereafter, there's no possibility, hypothetically, if we iterate the point, if a person was to give the earth full of gold to secure himself, to release himself from the punishment of the hereafter, because he died without iman, this would not be sufficient. However, in the dunya, if a person spends money in the path of Allah with iman, it can take him to the heights and ranks of the pious, and he will become included in the abrar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You cannot reach piety until you spend from that which you love. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. And whatever thing you spend, then Allah has full knowledge of it. Allah is knowing of it. So this is an address to the believers. And there's a subtle connection with the previous verses which talk about the fact that you can't spend gold, the earth full of gold, on the day of Qiyamah to release yourself for the one who doesn't have iman. In the dunya, if you have iman, a little or a lot of material wealth spent in the path of Allah will take you close to Allah. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرِّ. You will not achieve birr. Birr is piety and righteousness. And the group of people who have it, keeping in mind that there are different types of pious people who have different ranks and statuses, a person who is pious is also called birr. or Bar. And this group of people is referred to as Abrar. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ. You can't reach true piety, you can't become perfect in it until you spend حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا. Not bir. Bir. Bir is the word for piety and for a pious person. Incidentally, you can read this word all three ways. Bir, bur, bir, and they all have separate meanings. Bir is used for land, and bur is used for wheat and grain. So bir is a pious person or an act of piety, a state of piety. So, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You can't reach this status and this rank until you spend حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, from that which you love. It's not always the case that you have intense love for something that you spend. So what if you spend something less than that? If you spend something less than that, you will still be rewarded for it if you meet the conditions, but you won't reach this rank. And what is special about the Abrar? Allah Ta'ala mentions some of their rewards in the Quran, and the Mufassirin mention those rewards in the tafsir of this ayat. For example, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا. In Surah Al-Dahr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed the pious will drink. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ, from a cup. The word ka'as is used for a cup of wine, which is full. The word ka'as is not used for an empty cup. It's always used for a full cup. It's used for a cup of wine. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا. The Abrar will drink from a cup of wine, the flavor of which will be kafur, camphor, the kind of minty flavor. Of course, you can't compare it to anything in the dunya. Mizaj, it will have been mingled and merged with this flavor. It will have been made up with this flavor. So, this is a very special mention in the Quran. In different places, different types of pious people are mentioned and their rewards are mentioned. And even in Surah Al-Dahr, different groups of pious people are mentioned and their rewards are mentioned. So the Abrar are mentioned specifically, and amongst their reward is this, يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا. So they'll be given a special, unique status in the hereafter. So this level of piety, and I'm at pains to explain and express when we talk about these subjects that we shouldn't oversimplify the akhirah. In the dunya, we are very specific when it comes to rank and status. People, society judges people by their social class. And everything isn't considered equal at all from a dunyawi perspective. So, and this is also the case in terms of positions in business, in organizations, in politics, at the level of governance. Different people have different ranks. So in a big corporation, the person who's the doorkeeper is not considered to be the same. The person who has clerical responsibilities, administrative responsibilities, is not considered to be the same as the person who's in charge and who owns that corporation. There are different levels and ranks and distinctions. There's such a thing as promotion, demotion. So, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا. In the hereafter, does Jannah have different ranks? Yes, it does. The ranks of Jannah are known as darajat. And Jahannam has ranks as well. They're known as darakat. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The different darakat of Jahannam and the different darajat of Jannah. And the difference between one from the other is compared to the distance between the earth and the stars. And you can't go up from your appointed, your appointed, allocated position. So if your the maqam is here in Jannah, and there are other people above, you can't go up to meet them. But because Jannah is Jannah, and there's no deprivation and unhappiness there, Allah Ta'ala will make people satisfied with their own maqam and martaba. And if they desire to meet someone who's in a higher position, then those of the higher position, it will be put, they will be inspired to come down to visit those who are junior to them. In fact, it's worth mentioning here that those who have pious children, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Those who have iman and their children, their progeny, follow them with iman, we will make them meet them and we will not reduce from their amal anything. So supposing parents are pious, they've reached Jannah and they are in a higher position, and their children have iman and they have reached Jannah too, but through their amal, the children are not in the same position of the parents. The parents are higher. The ayat is saying that Allah Ta'ala will promote the children to the level of the parents because they both have a common factor of being Jannatis and having iman. And this is why there is a virtue of having pious parents. But the Mufassirun also say that children of pious parents have extra responsibilities as well. In other parts of the Qur'an, Allah Ta'ala has criticized those who were the children of pious people, even the children and progeny of Anbiya. Allah Ta'ala says, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّ. Surah Sajda. And they followed after them, Allah mentions pious people, including Anbiya. And then he says, there came after them an unworthy posterity, people who were not deserving. And what kind of people were they? أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ. Allah Ta'ala mentions two things, and you will find that till Qiyamah, this is sufficient to encapsulate a path away from deen. When people move away from the deen and the piety of their parents, there's two things they'll do. They'll neglect their prayer and they'll go to enjoy themselves in the dunya. The recreation and the pubbing and the clubbing and the substance abuse and the dating, the things are all the same. أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ. They wasted away their prayer. They're not particular about it. It's times and etiquettes. And وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. When you leave your prayer, what happens? They pursued their desires. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّ. They will meet غَيَّ. What is غَيَّ? State of misguidance. It's also the name of a valley in Jahannam. So when people don't follow in the footsteps of their pious elders, then their paths diverge. You have to get to Jannah to have this virtue. And it's a deception to which the Ahlul Kitab fell victim to as well. نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. Because we are the progeny of Anbiya, therefore, we are beloved to Allah, and لَنْ تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. We'll only go to Jahannam temporarily. No, you have to have iman, and you have to have some good amal, and work on that. And through the fadl of Allah, if you enter into Jannah, then you have this virtue. So there is a basis for hope here. And the Mufassirun say that it can work the other way too. If the children are pious and the parents are pious and the children supersede their parents and go higher in Jannah, inshallah, Allah out of His fadl will also promote the parents to reach the level of the children. And you can understand, we should understand, and we should have such a desire and ambition that Jannah cannot be Jannah without Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is why we should request Allah Ta'ala in our du'as to be out of His fadl and favor, and not because of anything that we deserve, to be with and close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Jannah. You know, when you pay extra on those budget airlines to get seats together, why? Because it's not fun going on holiday on your own, is it? So how is Jannah if you can't see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So the point I was making is that we need to understand Jannah in a more sophisticated way. Jannah is full of different ranks and statuses. It's not just one place. And there are different groups of pious people. So the Abrar specifically, one of their qualities is that they spend in the path of Allah. And they don't just spend, مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. They spend that which they love. So the car that you are in love with, the expensive watch, nice shoes. These are the things to donate if that's what makes you, that what tickles your fancy, it's the thing that you make an effort to achieve. Are you willing to give it away? The enjoyable meal, whatever it may be. When this verse was revealed, Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu al-Ansari, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he had a beautiful orchard in Medina Munawwara. Orchards are very profitable, then and now. A single orchard, when you plant fruit trees, and date trees are fruit trees, once you planted them and they're established, you have continuous provision. One of the most profitable types of agriculture is to grow fruit. Unlike grain, which you have to plant every season, sometimes twice a year, vegetables, a lot of hard work, fruit trees, once established, will give you so much fruit that you'll have a surplus. Typically, this is the case. So if you have an established orchard and it's producing literally hundreds or thousands of kilos of fruit every year, or even more, tons sometimes, you can imagine the profitability of this. And then there's the special pleasure. You're sitting amongst fruit trees. I was once spending a few days in just outside Fez in Morocco. And we stayed in a rented apartment. And I'm mentioning this because I'm mentioning fruit orchards. The context is this. You understand? Purpose not to tell you stories. Yes? This orchard, it had growing in it citrus fruits and apples and olives and pomegranates. And just down the road, there were almonds growing as well. And I can't even remember what other types of fruit was there. This is when I had always wanted to have the opportunity to taste an olive from the tree. It's very bitter, by the way. It's very difficult to eat an olive. It's meant to be very beneficial for you. There was a full range. And subhanAllah, the pomegranates were the size of a baby's head. And very sweet as well. They were being produced locally. The point is that there's something very special, especially when there's water there. Spring, sweet water. So Abu Talha, he has this orchard, which is very dear to him. And this is exactly the point. How many of you would give prime property, real estate away for sadaqah, because you like it so much? That's the reason to give it away. Everyone has their own maqam, so you're not expected to make yourself poor. The Prophet on from Abu Bakr Siddiq, he accepted his entire estate on the occasion of the Ghazwa of Tabuk. From Umar, half. But on one occasion, a sahabi came to the Prophet and he wanted to donate a lump of gold that he had. And the Prophet refused it repetitively. And when he insisted, the Prophet flung it forcefully away. Why? Because he knew that this man is not strong enough to be able to tolerate this, you know, financial consequence. And it will result in him begging after a few days. So the idea is not that you turn your family out. It's different for different people. But this doesn't mean that we can't all spend of that which we love. Do we understand? Yes? So Abu Talha came to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, I want to give this orchard in sadaqah. I understand that this is part of Masjid Nabawi al-Sharif now, that area. It's pointed out by people when they take you on the ziyarat in Medina al-Sharif. And the Prophet ﷺ told him that this was a profitable transaction, in other words, with Allah Ta'ala. And he recommended that he distribute it to whom? Another lesson here, to his relatives. And these days, people have problems with relatives. They can't see their relatives being happy. The family, if I will split, husband and wife will have an argument because one of them sent a bit of too much money home. Now, that shouldn't be at the expense of the family pot. Remember, your own family comes first, your own children. But in addition to that, men and women should spend on their families in an appropriate way. It's part of deen as well. The Quran mentions it repetitively. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. In fact, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالنَّبِيُّونَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى. Mentioned first, relatives. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ نَفَقَةٍ فَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. So masakin, fuqara mentioned as well. Spending on relatives is given priority in Islam. This is why I say that when you carry a gift bag, you know, bottle of perfume, box of chocolates, gift coupon, some money in an envelope. Yes? Yes? As is the case, is the custom. Done with sincerity, with relatives, this is a big act of piety. It's not a small thing. So Abu Talha, he's recommended, he's advised by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give it to relatives. He gives it to cousins who are the children of his paternal uncle. Yes? Father's brother's children. And he's happy to do that. So this is birr. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى spending from that which you love. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٍ And whatever you spend, مِنْ شَيْءٍ, some small thing, then Allah knows about that. In other words, although you will not reach birr, that special rank, until you spend of that which you love, if you spend anything lower than this, with sincerity and the conditions, appropriate conditions, halal income, spent with ikhlas, then Allah knows about this, and He will reward that too, and that too will be given in back to you in the Akhirah and in Jannah. But that's not the level of birr. There are etiquettes associated with spending that we should reflect on in this moment as we go over this verse. They include the fact that Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِهِ إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِدُوا فِيهِ And do not make the intention of something which is impure, inferior, even as, and you spend of it, even as, وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِهِ إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِذُ فِيهِ You wouldn't take it for yourself without closing your eyes. In other words, if someone gave you a cheapy, rubbishy gift, what do? You'd either not take it or take it as though you can't notice. You understand? Is this making sense? So, don't give such a thing. So what's the mas'ala here? Because of two reasons. I've mentioned the example of giving it your entire wealth. Supposing you wanted to give everything you have in the path of Allah, or you wanted to give one particular type of property that you had. So you have a property, you want to give it to the in the path of Allah, and this property contains good new furniture and furnishings and old bits of things which are not very valuable and not very nice. And you want to give the whole thing. So the ulama say, if you give an entire property of sorts, an entire pot, an entire estate, you give a big lot, you have a warehouse full of goods, good and not so good, right? You give it all. Because you're giving it wholesale, the whole thing. Therefore, if anything is inferior, you're not counted amongst those who are spending something inferior, number one. Okay? Number two, what about a person who has nothing special to give? A person who only has basic things. So for another person, this is inferior, mal. But for this person, that's all he has. And he's giving something from that, then it's okay. Because that's all he has. He's not, the wa'id in the Quran, the warning is for a person who has good stuff and inferior stuff. And he wants to give the inferior stuff away to clear it out. That's the wrong attitude. For a person who has decent stuff to give in the path of Allah, and he has inferior stuff, he shouldn't give the inferior stuff. He should give the decent stuff. But a person who gives a lot, or he only has second-rate stuff, and he's giving from that, then there's no problem. Does this make sense? So there's a few adab here that we are learning. We should spend of the things that we love, so we can reach that maqam, but we can spend of the ordinary things as well, which don't pinch the heart so much, right? But we should avoid inferior things if we have better things to give. But we can give of those inferior things if that's all that we have, or it's part of a bigger lot that we are giving away. وَالْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ And then the verses continue. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْنِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ كُلُّ الطَّعَامِ كَانَ حِلَّ لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ All food was halal upon Bani Israel, إِلَّا مَا حَرَّمَ إِسْرَائِيلُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ Except that which Israel, meaning Yaqub al-Islam, made haram upon himself, min qabli an tunazzala at-tawrah, before the Torah was revealed. Qul fa'tu bit-tawrati fatluha in kuntum sadiqin. Say, qul fa'tu bit-tawrati. Bring the Torah forward, watluha, and read it if you are telling the truth. Let me just explain the context of this verse. Basically, Banu Israel, the Ahlul Kitab, they accused the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of not being from the millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam and not being connected to him because they wanted to claim Ibrahim alayhi salam for themselves. And the basis they used for this was that you, in your sharia, are allowing the consumption of things which were haram upon Banu Israel from before. So if you are following in the footsteps of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam, why are you making those things halal? And the Quran is explaining that actually your allegation is wrong, because nothing was haram from before. For example, the consumption of camel meat and the drinking of camel milk and the eating of fat from certain animals, from cows and goats, certain parts of the fat were haram upon Banu Israel. So what's the detail? The detail is these things were not haram upon Ibrahim alayhi salam at all. So the idea that they were haram from before is wrong to start with. The Prophet is on the millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And furthermore, Ya'qub alayhi salam, the details is that, as is mentioned in the Torah as well, is that Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam became ill. He developed he began to suffer from an illness called Irqun Nisa. And he made a pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah cures me from this illness, then to please Allah, I will make a sacrifice by avoiding the consumption of beloved foods. That's the connection between spending from what you love for the sake of Allah, with the previous ayat, right? And those beloved foods for Ya'qub alayhi salam, also known as Israel, it's his other name, which means Abdullah in Ibrani, his beloved foods were camel meat and camel milk. You can still eat those and drink that milk, eat that meat if you want to. The meat is a bit harder to come by. You can search for it. It's available in Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawwarah. The milk is easily available. It's not even imported. It's frozen from some countries because people use it for joint pains and other things. There's some medicinal benefits that people associate with it. Camel milk is meant to be very good for you, for a person who's convalescing and so forth. Anyway, Ya'qub alayhi salam loved camel milk and he loved camel meat. And because he loved these two foods, he made a pledge that if Allah cures me, I will, for the sake of Allah, stop eating them. So he, to fulfill his pledge, stopped eating them. And as is mentioned in the Quran in other places, because of some of the sins of the Ahlul Kitab and Banu Israel, various prophets came and Allah, through them, made haram upon them certain things which originally were halal, which included the consumption of some of the fat, which is found, for example, in cows and goats. It's halal for us, it was haram for them. That was a response to their own amal. So their allegation that the Prophet ﷺ is not on the millah of Ibrahim ﷺ is false. And that's what the Quran is saying here. Kullu ta'ami, all food. Kana hillal, all pure halal food. Kana hillal li bani Israel. Was halal for bani Israel. Illa ma harrama Israelu. إِلَّا مَا حَرَّمَ إِسْرَائِيلُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تُنَزَّلَ التَّوْرَةِ. Except that which Ya'qub al-Islam made haram upon himself before the Torah was revealed. قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِالتَّوْرَاتِ فَاتْلُوهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Say, bring the Torah, bring it forth and read it if you are true. قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهِ. Say, Allah spoke the truth. When you open the Torah, it will become evident. وَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. And follow Ibrahim al-Islam, who was aloof from all shirk. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And he wasn't from the mushrikeen. And the next ayat is, Inna awalabitin. Okay. And so we'll conclude here. The next verse very aptly is relating to the Kaaba and some of their objections to the Prophet's worshipping Allah in the direction of the Kaaba. The answers to that are in this verse. Inshallah, we'll discuss this in the next verse. In the meantime, we conclude. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.